People say, oh, I can't judge. I can't judge. In fact, they'd throw that up. Judge not that you be not judged. Who am I to make a decision about somebody or any circumstance? And I want you to understand, as we properly understand what Jesus is telling his disciples, and by succession, you and I here, he is not condemning judgment. He's not condemning the application of judgment by me and you. Now, there is something he's condemning, and we're going to find out what it is in just a minute. And it's a package deal, by the way.
Right.
It's a package deal. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged.
Right.
And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, to put it in the vernacular, turnabout's fair play. Right? What you apply will be applied to you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider it not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know what a mote is? That's not what goes around a castle. It's a speck of dust. A speck of dust. You ever get one of those in your eye? Man, you think you got a log in your eye. I mean, you've had that before. You get the Visine and you try to get it out and they say, this must be a tree. And you look out and it's so small you can't even see it. That's a mote. That's a small speck that's almost to the naked eye. You can't even see it. Now, a beam is a log, or a timber, or a splinter, or something much larger than this mote. And the Lord says, why do thou behold the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam that is in my eye? Thou hypocrite! Thou hypocrite! We're getting down to the meat here. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Jesus was not condemning judgment.
Right.
He was condemning hypocrisy.
Right.
Hypocrisy is what Jesus condemned. Hypocrisy. Comes from a Greek word which literally means to pretend. To pretend. You know, if you've studied any of the classics, you're familiar with Greek theater. And Greek theater always had a mask. The participants, the players, would have a mask on. And you know what that did? That mask, what was underneath it, which goes to the heart of what hypocrisy is. Actually, that word hypocrisy is a Greek word. Y'all know what a hypodermic is? If you've ever been to the doctor, more than likely you've had a hypodermic. You might have cried or squealed, or you may not have. But what's a hypodermic? It's a needle that is put under the skin. That word that part of that word hypo, which means underneath, and a hypocrite is someone that underneath the surface it is not what it appears to be. It's something different. Therefore, we have hypocrisy. World's full of it. Creeps in, yes, to the church. It can plague God's people. The strongest criticism that Jesus had in his day was for the Pharisees, right, and for the scribes.
Yeah, right.
In fact, he's going, if you'll go with me to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, he's fixing to tell us something about those Jews that he has greatest vengeance and condemnation for. Go with me to chapter 23 of Matthew. He calls them a lot of things. Look how he starts out. I don't think this is going to be where I'm going to read, but he says, when they get ready to fast, now I want you to understand, he's not condemning fasting, but here's what he is condemning. Painting up your face, walking around with such a sad countenance, and you look so religious. That's what he's condemning.
That's right.
These people that look so religious in their lives, and they're so prim and proper, and they look like they've got it all together, yet on the inside, in fact, he's going to address that. What's on the outside versus what's on the inside, which goes to the heart of what hypocrisy is all about. They bind heavy burdens, verse 4. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one finger. They get everybody else to do the heavy lifting.
Right.
There's some of those people that say, I'm behind you all the way. But all their work they do to be seen of men. The visual. They make broad their phylacteries. You know what a phylactery is? That was a piece of sewing apparel that was applied to the bottom of a robe. And the wider your phylactery, the more religious you are. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms of feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. And they greet in the market and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. So, you see where he's going with this? Now, he's fixing to bring it down home to what hypocrisy is all about. Fast forward to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. What's that? Seasonings. That's what you use to cook with. Use that in a pot of beans or soup. Man, that guy, man, that is some kind of an accountant. I mean, he gets it down to the penny on what I owe on tithing. You get all those little nitsy-bitsy details, you get all that in place. You swallow a gnat and strain it in a camel. That's what, in fact, we're going to see that. That's scripture. That's Bible, by the way. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You've omitted judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. He does not condemn tithing here. Did you get that? There's no condemnation from the lips of Jesus to say it's annulled. But he says, you're focused on the wrong thing. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, But within, they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? You see, not only does he condemn what they're doing, but he tells them how to correct it. He doesn't just leave us in our misery. He just doesn't leave us in our error, Brother Steve. He tells us how to correct it. Clean yourself up. Get your act together. And that applies to you and me today in the church. We got to get our act together. Because we're accountable to God. We got to be good stewards of what He's given us. He's given me this mind, and He doesn't expect me to be lazy and not using what He's given me. To be a good steward of what He gives me is to be faithful to Him in all things. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup, that the outside may be clean also. Woe unto you! You know, He doesn't leave it alone. I'm going to tell you, he likes into them. Because He sees what they've been doing. For ye are like whited sepulchres. You know what a sepulchre is? You go out there to the cemetery and those above ground tombs that are all marbled and white stone and people are buried. You know, this is not an in-the-ground burial. In fact, they said in that day that that was the tomb that David had. It was a sepulchre. He says, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, are like white sepulchres. Something beautiful to look at on the outside. It looks like you got it all together. It's clean. So clean you eat off of it. But what's on the inside? Dead man's bones. He says, that's what you Pharisees are. Hypocrisy. But within are dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. You know, it's an interesting thing here. Let me tell you what we're not going to find in the book of Matthew. We're not going to find self-righteousness. Word's never there. But you find righteousness. You know, brethren, as I go along and I look at God's Word, anytime I see self included something as a prefix to a word, it's not good. You know that? It's not good. Self-pity? Self-righteousness? Self-this? Self-that? What about people that have their Facebook page where they've got 100 selfies on their Facebook page? Y'all, there's something wrong about that.
Right.
Are we that self-obsessed with ourselves that you think only people are interested in you? When we do that, we have forgotten God's Word. I would admonish you to go in and delete your selfies. That our self-obsession may be done away with. It's not about you, and it's not about me. Brother, when I was ordained, that's the first thing the brother told me. He said, Brother Jerry, I want you to understand something, brother. This ain't about you. And when you're ordained next month, it's not about you, Brother Steve. It's not about you. It's about something greater than you and I will ever be. To Him in our book, let self be crucified and slain. And buried deep. And all in vain may efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. We live in the most narcissistic society that has ever witnessed the face of this earth. We got people that are so obsessed with themselves. And everybody thinks that everybody else got up in every morning and was so worried about you And then when that doesn't turn out to be the case, then depression sets in. And we wonder how all this comes about. You know the antidote for our depression is go help somebody. Go find somebody who's in a worse condition than you are and comfort them. It's a good, I'm not going to say that's going to solve it, but brother, that's a sure good place to start. Help somebody who's in a worse condition than we are. Act like Jesus. Won't do away with all the problems, but brother Steve, that's a good place to start. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres with righteousness. You know, people do that today. Ever go out to a cemetery and you go to the graveside of something and they've got little lights set up on it?
Yeah.
And they got little whirly birds on them. And they got little toy soldiers. And you got all these little things. That comes from Mexico. That's the obsession with the dead.
Yeah.
It's nowhere in Scripture, brother.
Right.
It's not according to God's Word. That's some more of this stuff that's crept in and we've drunk the Kool-Aid on it.
Yeah.
And I say, if you had been in the... I love this. He says, y'all say, you hypocrites say, why? If you'd lived in the days of Isaiah, if you'd lived in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Why? I would have defended Isaiah. Give me a break. Why? I wouldn't have let them done that to any of the prophets. Come on. Who are we kidding? We're as unrighteous as everybody else. We're as human as everybody else. And except for the grace of God, there go we also. Hypocrisy starts with an illusion. Actually, it starts with a delusion about our own grandiose schemes and ideas. And Jesus had nothing but contempt for this hypocrisy. In fact, it's based on that hypocrisy that he condemns their action. Remember, Jesus does not condemn judgment. He condemns hypocrisy. He condemns hypocrisy. You see, y'all, we live in a day and an age today, and the brother talked about love. Heard a good discourse the other night about love. I'm going to share some of the thoughts with you. None of this is original with me, by the way. Okay, just like it is with you. As Brother Hewlin Bass says, boys, take it and run with it. Okay? Brother preached a discourse on God is love. And I love the way he did this. And I never thought about this from this angle before, but I want to share this thought with you. You know what most people say today? You know what the hypocrites say? You know what the world says? The people that say, I can't judge anybody, what they say is love is God. Got that? We say God is love, but see, that's not all inclusive. God's more than love. God's love to you. But to the unregenerate, he's vengeful and full of wrath. And when we're not obedient, he's a consuming fire. He's also that. Right? You see, he's not love to the exclusion of everything else. See, people want to hang their hat on that. Well, I can do anything I want to. You can't judge me. Because who are you to judge me? Because God is love.
Yeah.
Y'all, we're called on today to be deeper than a thimble.
Right.
The world today is this wide and this shallow.
Yeah.
And one of the first evidences of that is what we do with Matthew 7:1. Judge not that we be not judged. See, the world teaches today that love is God. Our God is love. And what that means is that I can do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
I have a license to do anything. There are no parameters.
Mm-hmm.
There are no boundaries. There's no boundaries. You know, we're seeing that. That's permeating every aspect of our lives, is that how dare you establish a boundary to me? You have no right to judge me. You have no right to establish a boundary to me in my life. We're seeing it. We see it in the church. Just take anybody in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they believe. Just bring it on. No boundaries. Family. Marriage. No boundary. Marriage can mean whatever you want it to mean. We're seeing that in our nation today. No boundaries. We don't need a border. Just let them come. No boundary. Why? How dare you, you unpatriotic, self-righteous America, to demand that someone meet a standard to come into your country? You know, there's an unexpected consequence of no boundary. You know what it is? And it's very dangerous. The same thing happened to Israel. Y'all, when we have no boundaries, we have no identity.
Right.
You ever thought about that?
Right.
If the church has no boundaries, then she ceases to be the church.
Right, yeah.
If the family has no boundary, then she ceases to be a family. If marriage has no boundary, then it's anything, as well as our nation. We have parameters. There are standards.
Right.
And that's what the Lord is telling us here. The standards that apply in your life are the standards according to God's Word. And it's based upon those standards that you judge.
Right.
That you decide. That you discern. People say, oh, I just can't judge. You judge every day. Get in your car after church and go to Walmart. You're fixing to judge. You're fixing to discriminate. Do you know that? I got two peanut butters sitting here on the shelf. I got Jiffy and I got Old Baggy. Which one am I going to get? Which one are you going to get? I think I want Jiffy. Why? How dare you? That's unrighteous. That's judging. Yes, it is. And I have the right to do it.
Right.
God has the right to do it also. Yeah. You know, there are aspects of discrimination that are ungodly. Not only are they illegal, they're ungodly. And we know that. But the word itself is not a sin. We discriminate all the time. That means you discern between one thing or the other. Now, there are some bases which we should not do it, and it's legally wrong and it's ungodly.
Right.
But we discern every day. You better. You better be discerning.
Right.
What about those people that say, I can't judge anybody. I love everybody. I love everybody. Tell you what, Brother Walton, let's run a little experiment here. Next time Sister Carolyn says, Walton, you love me? You say, I love all women.
Yeah. Not a good idea.
Right? Right. You want any of that? No supper tonight.
Out of the house.
That little room out behind your house. That little building. You see what I'm saying, y'all? But God loves everybody. No, He doesn't.
That's right, man.
No, He doesn't.
Right.
Scripture doesn't teach that.
Right.
And if you think that, get me off to the side. Let me give you the correct context for what's under consideration.
Yeah, right.
You see, brethren, those that say God loves everybody are the same people that say we don't have the right to judge anybody for anything under any circumstances, because I sure myself don't want to be judged. What's He telling us? Live righteously, therefore, you're in a position to judge. Why do you forever? What if there is no judgment? And that's what many people want. They want no boundaries. They want actually what we want is chaos.
Yeah.
And what will happen as a result of that? If one of the precepts of the church today was to say it doesn't matter. Live anyway, be anyway, think anything, do whatever you want to. You're not accountable because we sure don't want to offend nobody. Especially with God's Word. What happens as a result of that? If there's no judgment, there's no condemnation. Oh, I don't want condemnation. Don't dare condemn me for anything. And if we don't have condemnation, y'all, the first step to that condemnation, Brother Steve, is condemnation, judgment, and condemnation. What comes after that? Repentance. You see, if you don't have judgment, then there's no repentance.
Right.
You see where this is going? Where does repentance come from? It comes from God.
Right.
It doesn't come from Jerry. It doesn't come from El Bethel. Or it doesn't come from up in Georgia. Repentance comes from God. If you've been granted repentance, it came to you special delivery from the Lord Himself.
Right.
And after you have repentance, what finally comes? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see the chain? See that food chain? You see, if we take judgment out, there's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. That's what man does with it. When everything is milquetoast. Brethren, Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. And then he tells us about this. He talks about the hypocrisy. What's he telling us? He's saying, you that are righteous, not only do you have church, not only do you have the right to judge, you have the obligation in meekness and in fear. In meekness and in fear. Now, I want to take in one more verse of Scripture. I've read through 5. I want to go to 6, and then I'm going to close. 6. This is a good one. And this is part, you see, you got to have 6 before you have the first 5. You know that they're linked? They're linked. Judgment then comes to verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine. What do you mean, Brother Jerry? Brethren, we must be equipped for judgment before recognizing a hog or a dog. Got that? I got to be equipped with judgment in order to recognize a hog for what it is. I got to be equipped with the right judgment as a Bible believer, depending on the Lord for wisdom and mercy and grace, Brother Steve, in order to identify something for what it is. You know that? My granddad down in Mid County, Mississippi, we'd spend the summer with John and my mom. And my granddaddy had all kind of animals on his farm. And they were like the farm generation that had been 4 generations before them there. And he had a barn, had chickens and cows and horse and Dolly the mule and some dogs and had a hog pen. And we'd go down there and slop the hogs. That's what it was called. He didn't feed them, slop them. And they'd be laid up there just like this. Okay? These big old fat hogs. Got thinking about these hogs. What does a hog contribute? Now that chicken, he's going to give you an egg, right? And that rooster's going to wake you up in the morning, right? Contribution to the society. cows gave us milk. And my mamaw, bless her heart, she had the best buttermilk. Ooh, it was good. You never had buttermilk, can you have that? Okay. The animal and Duchess, the dog, while she ran with us. I mean, we were just, it was great. But that hog, or them hogs, they do nothing. Just laid up there, waiting to get fed. And we'd go down there with this stuff, and it looked horrible. We'd dump it in there, and they'd get over there and snort. I mean, they'd perk up when they got slopping time. I mean, you know, a hog is a consumer. You got it? All it does is consume. I love what Jesus does here with this. A hog is a consumer. It's a taker, not a giver. You know, there's people that are takers, and there's people that are givers. And them chickens, while they gave and took, the horses gave and took, and everything else on the farm gave and took, but them old hogs, all they did was take. Until one day. One day would come, and then it was a new chapter. You see where that's going?
Yeah.
I love the way the Lord does this with the hog. And you're talking about somebody that likes bacon. I'm telling you, Emerald said he's right. Pork fat rules. I'm telling you. I like my bacon. What's Jesus telling us here about this? I don't understand what's under consideration. He says, give not that which is holy unto dogs. First of all, it takes right judgment. You got it? To identify, I think I'm looking at a hog. And I'm not just talking about the four-legged ones that go on. It takes discernment of God. And I'm not saying this to be critical or ugly or mean-spirited. But you and I are entrusted with something wonderful. And you know what that something wonderful that the church has been given, brother? It's a pearl. Your pearls. What's the pearl of the church? What do you think it is? It's his gospel.
Yeah.
You know that the gospel is the peculiar treasure of the church of Jesus Christ. Pearls have to be cultured. No such thing as an instant pearl. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of input for that pearl to grow and to be nurtured and to be nourished. That's why the writer told us in our learning of God's Word, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Translation, you're not going to learn it all in one day.
Right.
It's a lifelong process. And the Lord's gospel is the peculiar treasure of His church. And you have it. The Lord, in Bible times, there were several items of great precious metals and items and objects. One of them was gold and silver, another was pearls. And the Lord used that in the parable of the man who was seeking. Now remember what He said? I think that's 14th chapter of Matthew, I think it is. And a man was a seeker. And he went and found a field that had within that field what? A pearl of what? A great price. So what did he do? He said, you know, that sure is nice. I think I'll come back here one day when it's convenient. Or when I get all my questions answered. The time's not. I'll come back. Field might have been sold by me. But what did he do? What did he buy? Did he buy the pearl? No. Of the whole field.
Right, right.
That's how important pearls are. Can pearls slip away from us?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can. Slip right through our fingers. And we may not know they're gone until it's too late. Well, does that mean, Brother Jerry, that we're hell bound? That's not what I said. I didn't say that at all. And the reason I don't think that is because that's not what God's word says.
Right.
That's not even on the radar.
Right.
But you can, you know, you say, well, all he lost was the joy of his salvation. Huh. Listen to yourself. That's all we have right now, brethren. You want to go through this life destitute and barren and naked and ugly and wondering and astonished? Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Now, there are times in Scripture where dogs refers to vile men.
Right.
Okay, I want you to understand that. And they're a whole separate caliber and class of people based on their behavior. And that's all we're going to say about that. Well, that's not what's under consideration here. Now, we shouldn't do that either. But according to Hebrew law, the only item that could be served in law service was meat that had been prepared in a certain way. And if meat had been torn apart, such as by wild animals, it was not fit for service in the temple. You got that? And it was said in that day that something where, say an animal had been attacked by wild dogs and the meat was torn apart, you give that to the animals. You can't use that for temple service and temple worship. It's not been sanctified or set apart. What the Lord's telling us here is that which has been sanctified, that which has been set apart for a holy purpose, don't give it to wild dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. One of the things, Brother Steve, that I, and Brother Jerry, and everybody here, that I fail to understand, which is just a total mystery to me to this day, is I go back to the book of Genesis and I find that Lot was there. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And what happened when Abram went there? And the angels were there, and Lot knew what was fixing to happen, and he knew who was at the door. And it is, you know, you ask about questions that you'll never understand. I can't understand the mindset of a man who called himself a believer, who says, "Take my girls,
yeah,
take my virgin daughters, who I have been entrusted with their integrity, and take them rather than those men." That absolutely, I don't have an answer for that. That man can be so depraved that he would think in that way. That a man would let the best that he has be thrown out to the street. That's what Jesus is telling. The best you have is pearls. Don't put them in front of hogs. What does that mean, Brother Jerry? You see, you know what that hog's going to do with it? Remember that slop thing I told you about where everything goes in it? It would be, those pearls would be in the bottom of that feed, and they'd eat that just like they would anything else, and wouldn't know the difference. If you put T-bone steak in that hog pen, they'd eat that just like they would slop, because he's a hog. You got it? Why would you give the best you've got to someone who's not serious about it? People do this. God's people do this. There's an old Mississippi expression I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to fix the clothes. Never wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty, and the pig likes it. You got it? That's kind of what Jesus is telling us here. That's kind of what he's telling us. Well, Brother Jerry, I thought we were supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature. What you're telling me is counter to that, if your interpretation of that is right. And it is, by the way. Peter told us in his first epistle that we are ready to give answer to every man a reason for the hope that is within us with fear and trembling. That means that I'm supposed to be like that Energizer bunny and just keep going and going and going regardless of the circumstances. Is that what he's telling me?
No.
He says, don't give your best to those who don't appreciate it. Don't give your best to those, this is really not part of their agenda. Whatever that might be. There were places where the gospel was not preached. The Lord specifically said, don't go over there. Now, if the gospel is based upon gospel regeneration, eternal life is based on gospel regeneration, God just condemned someone to hell. Well, that didn't happen. You know, I know that. Brethren, we're not to cast our pearls before swine. And that has to do with discernment. We're supposed to be harmless. You know what the Lord told his disciples? You're to be harmless and harmless as doves and wise as serpents. I've seen men of God that I've known in my life. Brother Stephen, I know how you have too, and they're blessed with wisdom and discernment. And they can look at a situation and call it like it is. And that's based on godly wisdom. May we be blessed with that. May we be blessed with that. Beautiful words. This is how y'all, that's how we apply the secret sauce. Okay? Such a blessing to have Brother Steve with us today. We're going to stand now. We're going to sing him. There'll be one here that wants to unite with the church.
You have the opportunity to come and refer to her.